Welcome to Hive Mind. My name is Meg. I'm here with Emily. We are talking about Bridgerton season 2 episode 5.
Woo woo!
Some naked ladies in this one.
NSFW, but tastefully done.
Meh.
It was tasteful, Shonda.
So?
I don't know. I have no opinion on it. I obviously not. I'm a prude. I don't know if I've made it clear enough.
I would argue it's not tasteful because a nude model is typically very professional. To suggest that a nude model's there to, like, court gentlemen is a disservice to every nude model in every art class, I would say.
Okay, well, I think it was not suggested. She was there to learn, if you'll remember correctly.
Okay.
And who amongst us has imposed nude to get an education? But
America.
America. Welcome to America. Meg... We get to first start with the infamous pinky touch. Almost.
I thought it was a graze.
Yes. The sexual tension was very high. Very high. I felt it in me waters. They're meant to be. These two are meant to be and the pinkies demand it.
Yeah, but like, what are we doing here? You know?
I don't know because, again, the problem is we're watching this week to week because I feel if we could have rolled this end of this episode right into another one, we would have had a better attitude about episode 5. But gotta tell you,
it is.
Ends on a real sour note for me.
Okay, take us from the top.
So we get the pinky touch. Now it's like the queen's just having tea with this like single family of noobs. I don't like the addition of the queen. I can't stress this enough. It makes no sense.
I know.
And, like, now she's going to throw their wedding just because she's so invested in the diamond. I just think the whole thing is dumb.
She's so one-dimensional and uninteresting.
What? That is a great way to say it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Someone who is not one-dimensional, Benedict. That's a joke he is. He's bad. He's art school Benedict. He's getting more action than Antony, and it's Antony's tire seat. It's his season. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I hear you, sis.
Yeah. Okay, well, whatever. We're at the Bridgerton home. Which I would live in.
Of course.
Those high ceilings.
It's a lot of blue. After a while, I'm like, oof.
But I love a theme.
Let's pop some yellow.
Ugh, that's a Featherington color.
Oh, that's true.
So, okay. But what about a nice soft green?
Yeah.
None of the Bridgertons really wear green.
You know what would really pop? Like an orangey red?
Coral?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I bet that. I think that would. But too loud for this era.
But they're such a loud family.
Ugh. Could you imagine being a part of the Bridgertons?
Well, I don't care for them.
The Bridgertons are the family in your neighborhood who you know who they are. You know exactly who they are. Every time you see one of them walking, you know which family they are, and you know you kind of want to avoid having a conversation with them.
But also kind of want to be them, but you also hate them.
Yeah, yes. And like you really don't want your kid to marry into it because you don't want to be related to them.
Yes.
I would never, do not want to be related. Eloise alone. Colin. Couple of dummies.
I gotta tell you, I'm starting to switch to your side of the Eloise debate because she's a lot.
She is a lot. And she's talking, they're talking the big day, all the Bridgertons, except Francesca, who for some reason is MIA yet again this season. I read online it was because of the actress's contract with another show. I don't know if that's true. I could have made that up. But Francesca is... Like, her book is the steamiest book of all.
Who's Francesca?
See, you don't even know her. Francesca's, she's younger than Eloise. Remember A, B, D, C, D, E, F, G?
Yeah.
You can't get to Hyacinth without Francesca.
And Hyacinth is the youngest.
She's the one who was born when the dad died.
Okay.
Can't get to Gregory without Francesca.
Okay.
Francesca's book is rated X.
Eloise.
Did you hear me?
Whoa. Eloise, Francesca, mm-hmm. Gregory, Hyacinth.
Take it from the top. Antony. Benedict. Colin.
Well, Colin's older than Daphne.
Daphne. A, B, C, D. Daphne. Eloise, Francesca, Gregory, Hyacinth. Those are the Bridgertons, but they're just always leaving out Francesca. And she also sounds like the prettiest one.
Sounds like.
In the books.
Gotcha.
And I think the actress is very pretty. You've probably seen her twice. She's been in it twice.
Could not pick her out of a lineup.
This really makes me mad. So Edwina's getting a wedding dress made and the queen's paying for it. I just don't even get me started. And Edwina at this stage of the season is no better than a paper doll. Like, I love the pleats in the back of that wedding dress, but she is giving us nothing and her face is giving me less.
Yeah, another one-dimensional prop.
Yeah, like, I don't root for Edwina. And I'm just trying to be like, who do I root for here, a younger sister wise? Because it's not Edwina, and how could it ever be Eloise? It has to be Penelope.
You know what Eloise reminds me of? Remember that SNL sketch where Cecily Strong goes on Weekend Update and she's that girl you met at a party who's outraged but has nothing to say and she gets all the facts wrong.
And fries.
The trees are burning.
Yes. And birds are fake.
And Barack Obama.
Yes, she is her. Eloise is like, phrase, nothing. Mm-hmm. Right. And mm-hmm. Edwina is like clueless. And she's annoying. She's getting annoying. Can I say that? Edwina's getting annoying.
Yeah, her innocence is grating at this point.
Like, you're an idiot, Edwina. Call your mom.
Yeah.
And your dad was supposed to be a scholar. Yeah, your mom needs to come pick you up. It's time for your nap. You're an idiot. Meanwhile, the modiste and Penn are plotting feminism ambition. These storylines cut together. Edwina can't see her nose for her face, and Penelope is single-handedly trying to bring down men.
Sure.
The modiste was like, hey, yeah, I'm getting more business because Whistletown, but could I have even more? And then she says, why should there be a limit on females' goals?
I mean, amen.
She's a real Susan B. Anthony.
She is.
Yeah. Susan B. Anthony wishes she looked that good. You're burnt, Susan B. I'm sorry. She's my girl, and I apologize to her memory. Kate is now forced to spend even more time with Anthony because Anthony shows up at Edwina. It's Danbury's house, but she shows up at Edwina's house and is like, oh, hey, I brought this jeweler, and I need to try this ring on Edwina. What do you think's going to happen here? We all know. But
best friend's wedding all over again. You got to get what's his bucket? Paul Giamatti, yep. To get the ring off your finger.
Get some butter. Is that what happened?
No, actually, it's not Paul Giamatti, but Paul Giamatti gives her the pep talk in the hallway, and they smoke a cigarette, and then she goes in, and Dylan McDermott uses his mouth to get the ring off.
Oh, yeah, he sucks it off.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything about this movie except I say a little prayer for you.
It's a great movie.
Forever and ever, yeah. I'm saying, I knew the hand motions. We memorized it as teens at a sleepover.
It was an iconic film.
But I don't think I've seen the movie all the way through.
But it's great. They don't end up together. Spoiler.
Rupert?
No, Julia Roberts and Dylan McDermott.
Is Rupert in it?
Yeah, as a friend.
And Cameron Diaz?
Yeah, Cameron Diaz's best role.
But does she marry Rupert?
Rupert's gay.
Okay. Does Cameron Diaz marry Dylan McDermott?
Yeah.
Oh, so he did marry...
Is it Dylan McDermott? Is that his name?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, we're going with it.
Listen, not to be a jerk, the person who plays Rupert and the person who plays not Rupert are both white men with brown hair and brown eyes.
Yeah.
They're the same description.
They were every rom-com star, mm-hmm. 1992 to 2010.
So you're telling me Cameron Diaz ends up marrying the groom she was intended to marry.
Exactly. Despite Julia Roberts' best efforts to break them up.
So is Julia Roberts the villain of the show?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's great. She's a great villain.
Is Julia Roberts the villain in Runaway Bride?
Yes.
Wow, she is, huh?
Yeah. Are you watching Gaslit?
No, but should I?
Yeah, it's good. It's fun.
I feel like I'm getting gaslit everywhere. I don't know if I want to put my TV on it.
That's fair.
It's hilarious for bringing up Gaslit. I've been listening to a lot of formerly known as the Dixie Chicks, the Chicks.
Oh, yeah.
And they have a song, Gaslighter, really pleasing my ears.
Okay.
It's a hit now.
Check it out. This episode, we actually do have a sponsor.
Oh my gosh, we do?
Yeah, it's
Meg hasn't
Anchor.
Told me.
I've got to record it. I'll do it later.
Do you want me to try to draw brand names and see if I can get it?
Yeah.
Like in the middle of the podcast.
Nike. They're all I wear.
Hey, Bridgerton, just do it sexually.
Nope. Don't want you to do it. I date your back. Okay, sorry. Edwina's dumb. Then
Edwina's
what?
Dumb.
Oh,
Kate,
the ring.
The ring. Okay, so what I wasn't expecting is for this stupid jeweler to get so much screen time.
He's the Neil Lane of his day.
Bachelor reference.
Yeah.
He gets a lot of screen time because Kate's like, oh, Edwina's not here. You should go. And then the jeweler is like, I'd love some cake. And like, spoiler alert, that becomes his bit.
I'm
he
like,
loves cake.
Real talk, I love this guy.
Okay, great. Meg finally found someone she can root for.
Yeah.
So they're forced to talk to each other where Anthony is such a dick. There is no other word to describe Anthony. He is a dick.
I don't know what either of them see in this man at this point.
Me neither. But he's so mad again. He's like, just, well, did you want to marry me? Because you're going home. He's mad she's going back to India, even though for whatever reason, he decided to propose to her sister. And then Antony pretends like he's fine with whatever she said. But I think he's really insecure.
I agree.
Okay, so then the dummy jeweler is like, here's the betrothal ring. Tension's high. And then Edwina even is, I mean, the tension's so high, even dumb old Edwina picks up the vibes.
Right.
And it was like, oh, this is pretty high.
This is weird. Why are you wearing my ring?
Yeah. Lady Danbury stops in and was like, hey, the snobby grandparents who snubbed their own daughter are in town, and we're going to be polite to them and no one get confrontational, okay?
Yeah, let's all play nice.
Okay, all right, great. And then they get to go promenading. This part, okay, stay with me. Everyone's out promenading. We finally get Newton. I demand more Newton.
Yeah.
He's the best part of the show. He is the second best part of the book.
Wow.
The first best part, when he sucks the venom from her breast. It sounds so sexy. It's written even sexier.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
But not vulgar.
Wow.
I know.
What a feat.
Like, I would read
the books.
I'd read it to my mom. No. Nah. I'd read it to my sister. I'd read it to my sister.
Okay.
They're written by Julia Quinn. She's the best romance
nonner. Quinn.
Come through, Quinn. Okay, so they're promenading. Instead of Newton, we get stupid Lady Danbury, who's being shady as heck here. She's like, really wants to make sure that Kate knows, hey, if this wedding gets called off, the entire ton is going to shame the Sharmas. And guess what? You're way too poor to get shamed. You need every connection you can get. And I know you love, this is the first time I felt like Lady Danbury really just came out and said that she knew Kate was interested in Antony, with the message being, you got to let it go. He's not for you.
Right.
And I don't like Lady Danbury in the show. Right now, I don't like her. Last season, I was okay with her because I felt like she was a gruff exterior, a soft interior. This time, I just think, no, you're mean and I don't like you.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, her hats are dumb. And you know what? I don't like that cane.
It reminds me. In the book, she
does exist. She's a little different. She's a very, very, very bit player. She's grumpy. She is related to some people, and she sets people up to get married, but because she like loves love, she's not this involved, and she's not this involved.
Okay. It made her fun to set people up.
Yeah. Especially when it's like, oh, I'm a mean lady and I hate this, and you're my secretary, and here's a cousin you didn't know I had, and now fall in love. It's like pretty fun.
That's fun.
She's got a lot of meet cutes.
I think I'd be a good matchmaker.
Well, let's prove it. Are you interested in being matched? DM Meg.
This episode brought to you by Hinge. Hinge. They open doors.
Metaphorically and romantically.
There you go.
And also figuratively. Wow.
Wow.
Wow. That's a lot of Lees. So then the horse race pretender dude showed up. What's his name? Mr. Dorset?
Huh? The who?
Yeah, you forgot about him because he's mashed potatoes with Nate, with a brunette.
Oh, the one that's into Kate?
Yep.
Yeah.
He's a mashed potato person with brown hair.
He seems nice.
Listen, he does seem nice, but he's truly any other white guy on the show. The amount of normal-looking white guys on the show has had, the cap is hit.
What do you think the casting call was? Are you forgettable? Come beyond Bridgerton.
Did your cousin used to have a crush on you, but then realized it's only because you're the only boy she knew, not because you're hot?
Yeah.
Great. You're perfect for this role.
Were you the cutest one in your mission, then you got back home and you realized you're just like everybody else? Perfect.
Great. Perfect. Did your mom try to set you up with her mom friends and cousins? Do you know those? Did you ever get those?
Yeah.
Always the safest white guy is who I would get set up with.
Yeah. And hey, listen.
Meg married one.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm sorry, Stephen.
No, he's white.
And safe.
And safe.
You know what? Good for you. Not me. Unpredictable Asian is who I'm married to.
That's predictable.
Unpredictable Asian. You're married to a safe white guy. I'm married to an unpredictable Asian.
Oh, unpredictable.
Yes.
Gotcha.
You know what? That's a fun nickname for him.
Maybe float it past him before we start like really using it.
Good idea. Antony, in a classic dude move, only wants Kate now because someone is paying her the tiniest bit of attention.
Well, yeah, classic.
Classic.
Also, I will say I've been guilty of that before.
We all have. Look. I'm here to judge.
No one's more attractive than the guy that just got a girlfriend.
I am here to judge, so I say this, but also I do it constantly.
Yeah.
I would always be like, oh, I'm not interested, and then they got a girlfriend, and then I was like, what was I thinking?
Excuse me, sir.
Excuse
I've changed
me.
My mind.
Have you seen me dance?
because these hips do not lie, sir. Penelope and Colin are having the most embarrassing conversation that they have. It's like, she's like, oh, where's Eloise? We're supposed to go for a walk. And he was like, oh, she went to floral arranging class. What we don't know is she's going to a lecture about feminism. It's a witch hunt. Eloise finds a handsome printer boy. His name's Theo Sharp. I realize that this time.
Is he in the books?
No. Oh, yeah. Right. The Help. Oh, actually, Benedict's book has The Help.
Does he marry The Help?
I'm not going to tell you, but...
Okay.
She's pretty, though.
I...
Listen, if you're rich, you can be odd looking. If you're poor, you have to be pretty.
It's true today.
And if that's not Elon Musk, who is? So the printer boy, he's tough and fair. And wouldn't it be incredible if Eloise was just a little bit cool, but instead she just negs him at every single opportunity?
That's real, real bad energy.
She's like, I didn't agree with this pamphlet. I'm from the 1% and I'm judging you. Your body should be stronger if you lift boxes all day. That was me. I added that last bit, but he should look stronger.
You're an expert.
Thank you. I learned from the best, yeah. Which is The Art of the Pickup. Do you remember that book?
No.
That's where negging got famous, was there's this guy who wrote a book called The Art of the Pickup, where he taught people
that's
how to
right.
pick up ladies.
That's right. That's
and
right.
by people, I mean hopeless men.
Incels, if you will.
Yep. Yes. Erstwhile, Mr. Dorset is winning over Kate with his connection to India. They both love it.
I mean, it's a very lovely conversation.
Have you been there?
No.
Oh, I thought you said it's a very lovely place. And I was like, wait. How have you been there?
I would love to go there.
For me, it's a pass.
Because of the stomach bug everybody gets when they
stomach bug, hot, crowded. There's, I don't want to sound ignorant, but there's literally no reason I want to go.
It's not ignorant. That's
but
a preference.
In all fairness, there's very few places I want to visit.
Not a big traveler.
Not a big traveler. Homebody.
I respect that.
Because my stomach. It's mad, like, if I eat a fried food. You think it's going to thrive in India? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to travel around the world to get diarrhea? No, I can do that at home, please.
Look. I don't know if I just know the few people this has happened to or if this happens to everybody, but everybody I know who's gone to India, they've said, well, loved it. Wonderful. Had to spend 3 days in the hospital throwing up. That's just like part of
That's part of it. My husband used to live in China, and one day he told me, you would wither in China. But now he wants to go visit, and so he's trying to backtrack that. And so he told me, you just have to plan on being sick for 48 hours, and then you'll be fine. And I was like, but why do I want to have to plan on being sick for 48 hours on vacation?
Well, could you, like... not eat? Like, could you Soylent Green it, you know?
I do have a friend who had to go to China for, she worked in clothing manufacturing, and she took one entire suitcase of granola bars.
Yeah,
and that's all she ate, and she did not get sick.
Bunch of bottled water?
Coke. Remember how you get to drink full calorie Coke in foreign countries?
I always still do the zero sugar.
Oh, I always go for it.
Good for you.
So he's been to India. She's from India. Wow. And he also is like, you're too pretty to be a governess, which is true.
Yeah.
Whatever.
He's no offense to Julie Andrews.
She was that haircut.
It's tragic, but great face.
Yeah, pixie face, but I wouldn't call her too cute to be a governess.
Okay.
The boxer's back. Who cares? Do we need to care about him?
I totally forgot who he was.
Did not care. I know I never need to hear the quote again. I've been known to plan a few facers myself. That was from Cousin Jack.
Cousin Jack is a truly tragic character.
I'm predicting right now, and this was before the end of the episode, I predict right now this guy's going to get scammed by the cousin. Because guess what? Americans love to scam.
And that's kind of one of the best things about us.
Yeah, you know what? Survival of the fittest.
We are scrappy and we'll take your money.
So capitalism. Dorset and, yeah, capitalism. Dorset and Kate row back to shore. They're getting ready. And the Viscount is not chill at all. And he's like, I'll help Kate out. And I'm like, make up your mind, you dummy. But I did love watching the Viscount fall into water. But I will tell you, in the book, Newton is who pushes him in the water. And he tripped over Newton. In the book, Newton pushes him, and I wish that's what would have happened. Because guess what? He deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
And it really grossed me out when both sisters were ogling.
I say ogling, but what do I know?
Didn't like when they were ogling his bare chest.
Yeah, it was weird.
Sisters being attracted to the same man, I don't know why, really grosses me out.
It's weird.
But like, why wouldn't you be attracted to who your sister is attracted to? You grew up together. You have all the same frame of references for handsomeness.
I don't know what to tell you, but I agree that it's weird.
Do you have a sister?
I do have a sister.
And did she marry someone that looks like Steven?
No.
Great. Me neither. My sister had a crush, though, like on Rhett Butler from
Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind. Those were like her childhood crushes. And I was like JC from NSYNC.
Yeah.
So, you know, sure. we started different.
Sure. Yeah. Different media really
very different.
Shapes your the unpredictable Asian that you eventually end up with.
Yeah. I will say there is something very now in retrospect, something really weird about a 10-year-old girl being that into Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
But she used to like have nightmares about Sherman, the general.
Okay, I used to watch a lot of Nick at Night. Like, that was my thing.
Uh-huh, and?
I was into Ricky Ricardo. I mean,
it's so that just was your number one crush,
yeah.
Ricky Ricardo?
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah.
I like that.
I like the way he scolded Lucy.
Yeah, tough but fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always with love.
Yeah, sometimes she deserved it, let's be honest.
Listen, Lucy would have been annoying to be friends with, let alone married to.
Yeah, I could not.
Like Eloise.
I could not be Ethel.
Oh, if I was Ethel, it would have been like, if I was Ethel's sister, I would have been like, this is a toxic relationship.
It absolutely is. And also, I can't enable this behavior.
And also, she's an idiot. So because you're enabling it, you are too an idiot. Yeah. And I don't personally like being an idiot.
Right.
I don't know how you feel, though, Meg. Penelope gets burned by Eloise yet again because for some reason, Eloise won't just tell her she's a feminist and instead makes it so Penelope feels not only ignored, but also paranoid by the fact that Eloise was a cheapskate. I mean, Eloise is truly the worst friend in America.
Yeah,
I mean, move over, Lucy. It's Eloise. She's the worst friend. Like, just tell her. I'm really into feminism. Like, why not? Because Eloise is a middle child, so she needs something that just is her.
As a middle child, do you feel like you wanted to keep your passion secret?
Yes, 100%. Because one, I'm not good at stuff. So I knew if someone else got involved in it, they would be better than me immediately. Mm. B, I needed it to just be something I did well. Like, I was the best hula hooper, okay? And then my little brother tried to pick up the hula hoop, and he was shockingly good at it.
And
I was like, no, this is my thing that finally gets me all the attention.
Did you see Everything Everywhere All at Once?
I did, yeah.
The part where they explained that she's the best universe hopper because she's so bad at so many things.
Yeah,
really
that
resonated with me.
Definitely, yeah. Did you cry?
No, I didn't cry.
I didn't either.
But I know a lot of people who cried.
I know a lot of husbands that cried.
I'm not a nihilist. Are you a nihilist?
Yeah, I am though.
Okay.
I really leaned into nihilism this year.
I mean, it's a philosophy.
Guess what? To live is to suffer.
Sure. Look for the bright moments.
Or just accept that they're fine. And you know what? Maybe fine is the bright moment, Meg.
Yeah.
Yeah, but is that movie about nihilism?
Among many other things.
Not the message I took away, but you know what? Good for you. I took away, I should try harder to be nice to my mom.
That is also a great takeaway.
And I could dress cooler.
Who do you want to dress like?
The daughter.
I thought the mom dressed pretty cool. That sweater at the end?
Yeah, she did look pretty cool. That Chinese New Year sweater?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Definitely not Jamie Lee Curtis. Ooh, that outfit.
But what a performance.
Seriously, so good. No one should, listen, hear me out. No one should wear mustard head to toe. If you're wearing mustard head to toe, I don't care how good your coloring is, stop it immediately.
Yeah. I don't think she was supposed to look good.
Yeah, she was supposed to look like toast.
Yeah, and she did.
And she did
great.
It. Nailed it.
She was amazing.
Well, the jeweler's back. Didn't
love it.
Didn't.
I
was not expecting that
with this guy, and I'm not joking.
Okay, I am not into him, but Maggie, you know what? That's great. He's over to the Featheringtons being like, wow, this ruby necklace is incredible. It's very expensive. Guess what, Meg? That ruby necklace, it's a counterfeit.
Dun, dun, dun. Those mines are empty. There's nothing in there.
So we're going to start a fake jewelry MLM. And Lady F is going to be number one top seller.
Like the jeweler, I would watch like an entire show about Lady F and her weird nephew just conning everyone in the town with their counterfeit jewelry. That's a show I am into.
I am hoping that's what's coming.
Yeah, that's got to be.
It better be or we're done.
That's a quality heist.
Yep. So here's more feminism at the art gallery. The nude model only models so she can go to male classes.
Of course.
She would keep her top on if they let her, but she's here to learn, okay?
Sure.
Benedict's very taken with her, and that's probably just because he's seen her TITSs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm calling them because it's Benedict's point of view.
T-I-T-S. I think it's just TITS.
What if it was just breast?
I don't think you have to pluralize.
I regret the TITSs. And what I want to say is he's seen her topless. another classic dude move. But this feminist temptress tells old Benny she needs him to pop off those clothes. And TBH, I was not expecting him to look that good topless.
Yeah, he looks great.
He looks good.
I think Benedict might be my favorite. Sorry.
Benedict, okay. Yeah. Benedict is my favorite. That being said, people hate Benedict's book. I'm not one of them. But people do hate, and I have had to talk into five friends into not quitting Benedict's book because it is straight up a Cinderella ripoff to begin. Ooh. Like truly a Cinderella parody. And it is tough, but once you get past that initial thing, I think it's actually like pretty charming.
Okay.
He's kind of a jerk in it, but that's the Bridgerton's mom. That's their MO.
Yeah, they're...
their dad would be very disappointed. So Kate and her stepmom have a conversation about true love. The mom had it with dad, and Kate believes she feels that for Anthony, but then the mom reminds her over and over again, Edwina is marrying her heart's desire. But why is it her heart's desire? She barely knows him, Meg.
I don't have an answer for you.
Whatever. Lady V once again tries to talk Anthony in some sense about the fact that he clearly does not love nor seem to care at all about Edwina. And we have heard this before. I predict we will hear it again. It's the same old story. Anthony cutting his mom off mid-thought. He's a well-actually guy.
Mm-hmm.
To the 10th degree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's cutting Lady V off. She actually had a pretty good game plan, which is like, hey, tell Edwina you don't care about her. She'll call off the engagement and she won't be shunned. Because, by the way, if a girl called off the engagement, no one else would marry her. It was like, oh, dang, she's... if a guy called off the engagement, they assumed something was wrong with the woman.
Yeah.
If the woman called off the engagement, they assumed the guy was still rich and it was fine.
Yeah.
So Lady V's like, Anthony, this is the most important decision you're going to want to make. Don't live in regret. And then she's like, I think it would make your dad sad too. And then walks away. She's a cold-hearted.
I mean, good for her, though. Finally. You know, some tough love.
I do like Lady Violet getting a little bit of a backbone. I don't like her getting pushed around by her kids. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you?
She's way too passive.
She's way too, especially for, like, she's a strong female, supposedly. So I just want her to be a strong female.
It does make me feel like I will enjoy having older kids.
What about that interaction made you think?
I don't know. Like, when they're all hanging out together, she seems to enjoy it. She seems to be having a good time.
Like, they're annoying, but they're her annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Edwina's back to being an idiot, trying to figure out why her sister's upset around Anthony. Idiot. Kate tries to tell Edwina the truth about her grandparents, but then Lady Danbury comes in and stops her. And then she was like, Kate, you wanted your independence. That's all you've ever wanted. And to me, Lady Danbury's the villain this season.
Yeah, I don't care for her.
I root more for Lady Featherington scamming people than I root for Lady...
That's going to be
fun to watch. Yeah, it's...
That's the thing about Lady Danbury. Every time she comes on screen, I'm like, okay... You know, what,
she's an energy
what monologue are we going to hear now?
She sucks my energy. Lady Featherington, I know she's bad, but she's such a fun actress. She has a lot of different facial, like, emotions that she's just fun to watch that I don't care that she's kind of the worst.
I mean, the character's terrible, but she's very fun to watch.
Lady Danbury's like, no, your character's bad and you're not fun to watch either. Yeah. I'm bummed out.
Yeah.
Your hat's dumb. Again, I say that hat.
It's just so much exposition, you know, give her something else to do. I'm sure she's great, but like the writing's not working.
She was way better when she was popping into the Duke's story one because she had a reason to talk to him like that. She has no reason to talk to Kate like this. That's what annoys me.
Right.
Well, the Sheffield grandparents are over, and boy, are they an odd-looking pair.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm into it.
They, of course, only care about Edwina. They snub their own freaking daughter, who is very pretty, the mom.
Oh, yeah.
Mary.
Yeah.
They also snub Kate, but who's surprised?
Yeah.
No one. At dinner, Edwina has her elbows on the table.
Edwina.
Period. Real choice.
Even my 7-year-old. She'll scold me.
Never. That never would have happened. The wine's loosened up Grandmother Sheffield's tongue, and she tells the entire table about how her daughter shamed them by marrying her true heart's desire, all for the love of that man. These conversations were not had, and it's not proper, and I'm calling fake historic accuracy for the first time.
It's fake news, if you will.
It's the elbows on the table, and it's fake 1800s news. They would not have this conversation in front of other people.
Why not?
Because shame is such a huge thing for them. They didn't talk to their own daughter for years because they felt she shamed them.
Mm-hmm.
They would not have shamed themselves by having this conversation in front of a Viscount.
Even while drunk?
She was loose, but I wouldn't call her drunk. And then it gets worse because the grandmother spills all the tea about the inheritance they set up. that demands that Edwina has to marry a proper English man and a title. And like right now I'm realizing, wait, the mom didn't know?
I know, that was weird, right? I thought the mom knew.
I thought they had told us. I swear on my life they said the mom knew.
I don't understand how they got there if the mom didn't know.
Yeah, and they don't tell us till 20 minutes later when Kate's like, well, I do all the correspondence. It's like, why would you ever be the one that does all the correspondence?
Right.
Whatever. The Viscount's had it. He has had it. He burns the grandparents. He tells them to see themselves out. They aren't welcome. Edwina's face is so eager. It made me sick to my stomach. She is eating this up. She loves him sticking up for them.
How are they going to fix this in the next few episodes?
I don't know. I'm beginning to think Edwina's not a great actress. All right. At this moment, I'm like, oh, wait, is Edwina actually a pretty bad actress?
People sometimes ask me, is Bridgerton good? And I'm like, I honestly do not know how to answer you.
It's enjoyable.
It's enjoyable.
It good and enjoyable. Maggie and I have been through this. Good and enjoyable are two totally different things. Okay, everyone acts like this is Kate's fault, but it's clearly Lady Danbury's. She literally stopped Kate from telling the truth like 20 minutes ago.
Right.
So stupid. Kate tries to make Anthony see rational thought that he has to marry Edwina. And he's like, no, because there's no dowry. But then after an annoying amount of time, he finally confesses it's because he can't see Kate all the time.
Right.
He can't be married to Edwina when he wants to woot Kate. And he doesn't. And what it comes down to, he just doesn't want to marry Edwina. He wants Edwina to call it off. It's all Kate's fault because he's the bane of his. She's the bane of his existence.
Why did he propose?
Who? Because he's impulsive.
Ugh.
Men.
Ugh.
Why did my husband bring home? Hear me out. Why did my husband bring home?
I don't know what you're about to say, but I'm so excited.
Separate guitars from his last trip to California, Meg. He's impulsive. He bought them all off of Craigslist. He had to check two bags.
Where are they now? What's he
doing? In the basement. Gosh, he has a whole room and they're in the hallway.
Does he play guitar?
Sometimes.
How are the guitars different?
They're not. One is brown and one is blue. He also shipped an amp from Georgia. Don't even get me started, Meg. And here's the real kicker. He has two entire offices. They're in the hall. So why did Anthony propose? If I knew that, I know the answer to every question.
I'm praying for you.
You should. Everyone, you should all pray for my unpredictable Asian. I'm going to freak out about that guitar. I have to remind myself every time I see it that I am not a great person to live with too. Okay. I know I'm not. I never clean my room. I know I am not perfect.
Yeah.
But the piles of stuff, they gotta go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's why we shop at the Container Store.
Thank you to the Home Edit, sponsors of this podcast.
And things get very sexual here. He's like, you're the bane of my existence and the object of my desires. He wants her to know he could teach her a lot. That's his phrasing. Like how to hold a very long gun. Back to the sad Featherington home. They're not invited anywhere because they're poor. Penelope's gotten sassy to her mom and I love it.
I do too.
I'd like seeing a backbone on Penelope because she does. That's part of her growth. The way Lady Featherington wants her nephew to solve all of the problems. I mean, oh my gosh. She's like, take people's money from the mines. And he's like, but they're worthless. And he does not confirm he will, but I bet he will do it. He's going to take the money.
And it's going to be so fun to watch. And what do these old people care? Like, they've got money to burn, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, everything's going to only be up economically and for English aristocracy. It's a lie, you guys. Things really get rough, right? Because they have these huge estates and it's really expensive to keep them running. And so like then that's when all these American heiresses started marrying like into the aristocracy, whatever.
Aristocracy.
Yep. Meg said, because they just needed money.
Mm.
That's actually a real thing that happens in history. And it's the basis for a lot of real fun historic fiction romance novels.
And then we end up with what's his face having to abdicate the throne because he married the divorced woman.
But that was for love.
With a man Wallace Simpson. Named Wallace Simpson.
He just loved her.
Okay.
He didn't need the money.
What I'm saying is, what a culmination.
What a culmination. History is so fun. And if you're 14, remember, just take AP history. It's not much harder than regular history.
I took AP US history. I didn't take AP world history.
No, never. Who knows world history?
What class did you take? British?
US history, now that we're mentioning
okay.
it.
Okay.
But history's fun nonetheless.
It is
fun. Okay. Back to the sister fight. Edwina thinks Kate doesn't trust her. But Kate's like, I'm literally just trying to do everything here. Like, Edwina, clearly I can't trust you.
Oldest
You're an
daughter.
Idiot. Oldest. Edwina's like, I'm not a little girl anymore, but then was like, well, the Viscount will provide for her mom and her sister. So you actually are a little girl. You're not trying to solve your own problems. You're trying to give them to someone else.
Right.
I mean, it's probably a product of the time.
Sure.
But Edwina is an idiot.
But also, he could stand to take care of them.
Yeah, but he already has, like, how many brothers and sisters?
Good point.
And they each have
Good
to
point.
Have a dowry.
Good point.
And those brothers, like, he has to try to support or help them find jobs. And where are they going to get jobs? What can Colin possibly do? I'll tell you. He writes books about his adventures.
What about Benedict? Art, I heard, is very lucrative and a great way to make a career.
Yeah, all the richest people I know are artists. They're called glutton artists. So Edwina says she loves Antony, and I cannot stress enough how much I hate the storyline. I hate it. She's like, I love him because he stuck up for us at one time when everyone knows he was sticking up only for Kate.
Right.
Whatever. Eloise is slumming it with Mr. Sharp. She acts confused about some question, but she's just trying to flirt. She just learned how to flirt.
Ugh.
Which is like, oh, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, but then like, if you're a feminist, sorry, unacceptable.
No, that's not how witches do stuff.
No. Be smart.
Be smart, and men will like you anyway.
She might be fake smart.
She's 100%. Lady Whistledown is hurt because she sees this interaction and is like, what the crap is happening? I thought Eloise was my best friend.
Right.
And you know what? When you have a secret identity and you can't even trust your best friend, you must feel pretty alone.
Right.
Okay. Then Benedict was naked. That's exactly what I wrote. These two are getting it on.
Yes. And they were very naked, and it felt a little out of left field, but whatever.
Whatever. I guess it's just that free lifestyle he lives. I needed to know her name, and they do not say her name. So I had to IMDb it, and it is Tessa, which is not the name from Benedict's book. But
interesting.
I do predict, okay, there's so many things that could happen with Benedict. Okay, hear me out. I kind of been wondering if season 4 is going to be Benedict and Colin's story.
Oh, they're going to combine them?
I kind of think they're going to combine them.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I think they understand that a lot of people did not love Antony's season as much as season 1 because it wasn't as action-packed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a slow burn,
mm-hmm.
but that's more true to the story probably. And I think that they're going to start realizing, okay, we had momentum season 1 because it was something no one had ever seen before.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of lost momentum season 2 because the people kind of knew what was coming and they were a little bit annoyed about some things. So I sort of feel like season 3, they know they're going to have to do more than one story.
Okay.
And it makes no sense for Colin and Penelope to keep having the relationship they have for one more season. It has to develop.
Yeah, I agree.
And that means who Whistledown is has to be said.
Okay.
So that's my thing. Did you know the girl who plays Whistledown is 35?
Yeah. All the Dairy Girl girls are our age.
You guys, if you don't watch Dairy Girls, it's so good.
Very
Meg,
good.
Is it not so good?
It's so good. Also, the Great British Baking Show Christmas special with the Dairy Girls is one of the best things I've ever seen on TV.
You have to watch Dairy Girls with subtitles. You will miss half of the jokes if
absolutely.
You don't. Their accents are so thick.
I have to use subtitles on Bridgerton.
Oh, me too. 100%. Especially like the modiste has like 3 accents in one. I can't understand a word that lady says.
Yeah.
But Dairy Girls, I just rewatched this weekend and it is so much fun. And the final season is playing right now in the UK. So you're going to get some closure on it. It's the time to start.
Okay, everybody. Listen up. This podcast brought to you by Dairy Girls.
Yes. A wee lesbian. next we get You Ought to Know, you Ought to Know,
Bridgerton
iconic style.
Iconic song.
Meg posted about it. She loved it so much.
I love that song.
Meg, was that your favorite Bridgerton cover?
I still really like Robin's, but I was into the Alanis cover.
What song would you love to see done Bridgerton style if you could have any song done Bridgerton style?
Do you know the song Purple Hat?
No.
By Sophie Tucker. It's huge in our house right now.
Never.
It's my 3-year-old's favorite song.
Oh, Stan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Look it up when we're done here. I would love to see how they would cover it.
I will definitely do that. Mine is Cowboy Take Me Away.
Mm.
Very into the chicks right now. And just imagine how much fun that would be.
Do you know what would be good is Fleetwood Mac, The Chain?
Mm. That would be incredible. But we're the only one of our generation who would pick it up. Well, maybe 5 other people.
You know what song I still love 10 years later? Hozier's Take Me to Church.
Take me to church. I used to sing that song. take me to church. I'm Emily Ann. Every Sunday to my husband until he let me know he didn't like it.
Wow. How long did it take?
I think 1 year.
Yeah.
He puts up with a lot.
Sounds like it. But also, but Meg, there's guitars in the hall. So marriage is about putting up with a lot.
You know what song I still like? And I'm not embarrassed. That song Home by Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel stuff with that song. It's good.
It takes me right back to like 2013.
Yeah, it's a good song.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I can't wait to see what comes up next, Bridgerton style songs. But what we end with is Kate and Anthony meet up like we knew they were gonna. They both ride early in the morning. Kate has this thick braid, mm-hmm. and she is serving sexy little Red Riding Hood. Mm-hmm. She looks incredible. Speaking of her, did you see the actress Simone Ashley at the Met Gala?
No.
She looked great. Look it up. I heard Edwina was there, but I didn't even bother because I don't care for her as an actress or as a person, I guess, or a character. So she looks so cool. Her braid is so thick. It's almost like a fishtail, but pulled loose. I want it. Anyway, Anthony's like, listen, I'm going to talk to Edwina. I'm going to end the engagement. And then it will be like, you and I have never met. We'll both go on our way because, Meg, that's how infatuation and love works. Like, right. The further the way they are for you, the less they think about them. Like, if only my 18-year-old self knew this about her boyfriend at the time. But Kate's like, nope, dog, you gotta marry Edwina because she thinks she's in love with you. And by the way, we can just pretend like these emotions never happened, which, again, I would say, do they know how breakups work?
Apparently not. Do you know who they should listen to? Alanis Morissette.
You. I don't know. You will still feel the same way for him, even if he marries your sister.
Yeah. It'll be worse.
If that's how emotions worked, we would all be really great people. You just decide you don't want to feel away anymore. Can you imagine?
I cannot imagine.
What a world.
I would probably, the things I would have accomplished by now.
Do you think people who are mindful, quotation marks, just decide they don't want to feel a certain way anymore?
I don't know. I don't know any mindful people. They drive me crazy.
My therapist tried to tell me that mindfulness was reading my romance novels. And you know what? That's my truth.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
I do know a mindful person. And he's actually very nice. And he cuts my hair. And I asked him if scrolling TikTok could be my form of mindfulness. And he laughed at me. But I think there's something to it.
Why not?
Yeah.
Your brain stops thinking. My therapist is like, as long as your brain is not thinking about your own problems or like your own life, that's, you're doing mindfulness.
That is why I watch TV at night.
I need everyone to know that Meg will share TikToks with me, and she has messed up my algorithm so much. I used to have a really fun thing going of dog jokes and lesbian TikTok, and now I am in sugar baby TikTok hell because for some reason Meg was getting served sugar baby ads. Yeah. Which she then served me.
The problem is, if you watch a full video, TikTok is like, oh, you like these videos. But I couldn't look away, you know?
Meg loves sugar babies and Mississippi prom.
I do want to know how they did it. How they pull that off.
Well, they don't tell us that. They just brag about what they get.
I know. They get a lot of stuff.
Do you think that girls who are sugar babies, part of it is because of how good they look next to their sugar daddy?
Absolutely.
It's not just some materialistic things.
Anytime we get family photos taken, I pick the ones where I look the best, you know? And how easy would that be if my husband were like 80?
Wow, really great point, Meg.
You know, there's something to it.
Meg also got really into Mississippi prom.
Oh yeah.
That was a good week for us.
Yeah, they do prom a lot better than we do here in Deseret.
Do they ever? Those dresses fit skin tight.
I did not see a single three barrel roll.
So the shame, my everlasting shame. I'll never three barrel roll myself. But if you would do, check out Revlon, our newest sponsor.
This episode brought to you by Revlon. Anything else? Did we miss anything else on Bridgerton?
We didn't, but I will say I'm in it now.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I was like, those first three episodes, watching them week to week was a little hard because they were kind of boring. It's kind of like Severance. The first three episodes were like, let's just get through it because we know it'll get.
Did you finish Severance?
Yeah, it was awesome. And that's what my hope is for Bridgerton. I am, knowing they end up together, I am very curious how we can do that in three episodes. We only have six,
seven,
eight.
Are there only three episodes left?
We just have six, seven, and eight left. Okay. So,
well, it's going to be a real feat, and I will either be very impressed or predictably annoyed.
I hope so hard that Edwina is married to someone else by the end of the season. She can't be single. She's too dumb, Meg. She shouldn't be in that world alone.
She's going to marry the counterfeit Ruby guy.
Cousin Jack?
Yeah.
He has to marry his own cousin. Or shame the family.
I think he'll shame the family.
Because what's more shameful, being poor or marrying your cousin?
Obviously, being poor. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week. Talk to you soon.